when you're really trying to figure out where do I want to invest some money to help me make life easier, stopping and cooking your way through dinner a little bit more intentionally with a little bit more presence of mind, just a couple of nights one week, might help you figure out where you're really feeling the most frustration. It's not everywhere, but it's like every time you pick up the knife or every time you read like chop an onion, then, oh, okay, that's where I'm getting annoyed. That's where the frustration's coming from. Is there an onion chopper? There is, and I have one to recommend today.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You, a podcast for busy home cooks.
Hey, this is Stacy.
And this is Megan. Today's episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is going to make you the fastest family cook and cut your time in the kitchen in half.
April Fool's, just kidding, guys. Okay, except kind of. Okay, not in half. The half part is an April Fool's joke because we can't guarantee that. But you know that we are pretty ambitious and we want to kind of try. In all seriousness, we know that spring is like a super busy time of year and you need help getting dinner on the table as quickly as possible. So today we're going to talk about all of our favorite kitchen tools that help you save time in the kitchen.
I'm very excited for this. I'm very excited for my cheesy April Fool's joke that I wrote into the script.
I was like, "Psych!"
Playing along.
Psych! Except we can come close, but yes.
We can. We can really help you save some time in the kitchen. But before we get into that, I was wondering, outside of tools, what do you think is like the one tip that over the years has saved you the most time when it comes to cooking dinner for your family?
I know what it is. I'm sure of it. And I feel very strongly that everybody else should get on board too. Knife skills.
Yeah. Like, that's a good one.
Like, period. Like, and there's even research to back this up. I did this during Make It Easy. I did some research, which I know that's a long time ago at this point. So even if the research is out of date, I do think it's informative that the one thing that tends to slow home cooks down more than anything else is chopping. That's why if you don't have great knife skills, we'll tell you to look for recipes that doesn't have a ton of chopping because that will take forever. And also, recipe developers do account for the fact that our knife skills are on a professional level and that most people who the average home cook doesn't have the same knife skills as us. So it's going to take them longer. But still, we're kind of guesstimating. When you have good knife skills, you are safer in the kitchen and you can move faster. And along with that, along with having good knife skills, comes a comfort to have very sharp knives. And sharp knives is also part of what makes you go fast. Because even if you have great knife skills, if you're working with dull knives, you're going to go slow. And it's actually more dangerous. We can talk about that another time. And we actually have in past episodes. But knife skills and sharp knives, like, that will speed everything up.
Also, adding to the efficiency is when you have good knife skills, you're chopping things more evenly. So things are cooking more evenly and more quickly. Like, I'm sure we've all had the experience of you chopped one sweet potato too large, or like one section of sweet potato too large, and you're like waiting for it to cook when everything else is already cooked through and you could have like moved on. So
I
love knife skills as the greatest efficiency of all time.
Yeah. What about you?
I think, and this goes back to culinary school for me and also our work as food editors, recipe developers, the idea of mise en placing. So getting everything out that you need at one time. So you're not like running back and forth from the pantry or the fridge to the stovetop. Even if your kitchen is not large enough that you're running, but you know what I mean, like walking back and forth. And I love this tip that the Lazy Genius shared with us about using a sheet pan with a piece of parchment on it to like put your mise en place ingredients, which we've talked about this before, but maybe I should just say that mise en place is French, right? For everything in its place, or everything has a place. And it's this idea that you should do your chopping, you should like make your sauces, you should measure out ingredients before you actually get into the cooking. But the Lazy Genius shared that she does all of her mise en place onto a parchment lined sheet tray instead of like individual little bowls that later you have to clean up. And I think that that's a component of being faster in the kitchen, is like knowing when you don't really need to use a tool, or when you do, a tool will actually make you faster in the kitchen.
Okay, so I love this. And I think that mise en place is such a genius tip. I am going to say something a little controversial. That I think that for, I've thought a lot about mise en place over the years, because this is what we do, right? And I think for mid-level advanced, I don't think you have to be super advanced, but for mid-level advanced home cooks, sometimes mise en place, I think, takes up too much time. Here's what I mean. I would absolutely, for most home cooks, do what Megan says, mise en place, and then little bowls, tray sheet, whatever like works for you in the way that you work and whatever equipment you have. But I do think that actually you can reach a level of home cooking where if you can get into the habit of reviewing your recipe first, that if there are pockets of time in the steps where you can prep something, right? So let's say you have to let something like come to a boil and then simmer for 5 minutes before you add the chopped sweet potato. Well, coming to a boil and simmering is going to take minimum 7 minutes. And that could be a good time if there's nothing else to do, if the recipe doesn't say, and in the meantime, do this. When you would just be standing there, that's when I would cut the sweet potato that has to go in, instead of taking 5 minutes before I even start cooking to cut the sweet potato and then standing there while I'm waiting for the boil, or standing there, scrolling Instagram while I'm waiting for the pot to come to a boil. But anyway,
like, that sounds like another episode. Stacey Billis.
I think it does sound like another episode, and I can't wait to record that one, because I think that these are fun little tricks for how to think about how to cook more efficiently. But today we're going to talk about tools.
Tools.
Is there another tool before we get into like kitchen tools? Is there another kind of mind tool or organizational tool that you use?
Yeah, I'm just always going to say that nothing has made me a more efficient cook, save me more time, reduce my stress about how fast dinner needs to go, than meal planning.
Amen.
This is like one of the primary reasons that we created our audio course, Meal Planning for Everyone. We do get asked questions all the time that range from like, what tools will save me time? Or like, how can I be more efficient? Or how can I spend less on groceries? And like all of those questions, the answer is to just meal plan.
Yeah, totally. I mean, listen, a lot of people who are listening have probably tried meal planning before. And a lot of people are like, I can't do it. It isn't right for me. It just hasn't stuck for me. And part of why it took us so much time to publish Meal Planning for Everyone, even though we've been meal planning advocates from the beginning, is because we needed to figure out how to teach meal planning in a way that wasn't one size fits all, right? Because there is no one approach to meal planning that works. That's why some people it sticks and some people it doesn't. So with Meal Planning for Everyone, you get 12 audio lessons that help walk you through creating a system that's customized to you, the way you work, the way you approach it. It also includes awesome advice, if we may say so ourselves, from guest experts like Artie Sequeira and Kelsey Nixon. You get lifetime access to our meal planning boards in the Didn't I Just Feed You community. It's just something that we feel so proud of. And it's like the ultimate time-saving tool. So we're going to talk about kitchen gadgets next. But like, really, the one tool you need is meal planning. And we can help you with that. So just visit didntijustfeedyou.com/meal planning for everyone to learn more.
To join us now, it's not even learn more. Come on, you guys. We're going to make you a faster, more efficient cook in meal planning for everyone.
Glad that you brought up meal planning, because it is a tool, right? And I came to this recording thinking about gadgets, but like meal planning is the tool. It is the time-saving tool. So glad you brought it up. But now we are going to move on to gadgets.
Tools.
And it's funny because I think when we first started Didn't I Just Feed You, you used to call yourself a minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious for you to start, because a lot of the like time-saving tools I think of, like some of them can be a little gimmicky. Like,
oh,
in a
sure.
good way.
Yeah.
Or a little more than gimmicky, actually. Like, let's get serious. Single purpose. And I know you're not a huge fan of single purpose tools.
Yeah, maybe my views have changed on that in the last 5 years. I mean, we've been doing cool. Didn't I Just Feed You for a long time. I was indoctrinated by my work with Alton Brown. You know, I was there for 10 years and he was like the ultimate no unitaskers in the kitchen.
Yes.
And even though I still say like, oh, I'm a wannabe minimalist, I don't know. Like, that isn't actually how I live my life. And this will ladder up to my favorite, which is categories. Like, I think that there are lots of kitchen tools that you probably already have, that our listeners probably already have, that changing the way you think of using them will make them time savers for you. And then I think this is also going to be the episode where it's like permission slip. If you make hard-boiled eggs every single week and you can buy a little hard-boiled egg cooker and that saves you time, you should buy that. I'm all for specific gadgets if they work for the way that you cook.
Yes.
Do you also feel that way? Do you feel like you're moving into a new kitchen and stuff too? Is like that impacted how you feel about tools and what tools you use?
I think I've been fairly consistent. I don't know. I just, you know, all of my tools really are about chopping, because that ladders up to what I started with. Like, I really think that the thing that takes the most time is chopping stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into it, but I think that people should get whatever works for them. I know a lot of people are working on tight budgets these days, and it can be frustrating to try something that someone you really trust online is like, oh, I love this thing. Give it a go. And you try it and it just doesn't become part of your routine. I know that frustration deeply. Like, that has happened to me before. And then it like taking up space and you feel like you wasted money. So I'm not saying go out and buy things willy-nilly, but I do agree with you that, you know, if it's going to get used, and that's up to you to determine how you're going to assess whether or not something will be used. But if it's going to get used in your kitchen, then spend the money on it. Then that's good money spent, if you have the money spent. You know, if you're going to use an egg timer or whatever, an egg cooker, great. I probably wouldn't. So it wouldn't be good money spent for me, but that doesn't mean it's not worth buying it if it's going to work for you. So I really think it depends a lot on what you're cooking most, where you feel like you trip up a lot, where you feel frustration. A lot of it is tuning in to where you feel the pain points. You know what I mean? I think we can be moving so quickly through getting dinner on the table because it's the end of the night and the kids are hungry and we've had a long day, and that the whole thing feels frustrating to us. But when you're really trying to figure out, where do I want to invest some money to help me make life easier, stopping and cooking your way through dinner a little bit more intentionally with a little bit more presence of mind, just a couple of nights one week, might help you figure out where you're really feeling the most frustration. It's not everywhere, but it's like every time you pick up the knife or every time you read like chop an onion, and you're like, oh, God damn it, I don't want to chop another onion. You know what I mean? Then, oh, okay, that's where I'm getting annoyed. That's where the frustration is coming from. Is there an onion chopper? There is, and I have one to recommend today.
Okay, mm-hmm. Wait, I'm getting so excited because this bubbles up, this thought that I have been having as we prepared for this episode, which is, you're talking about knowing the cook that you are, like recognizing what season you're in, what you're actually cooking, what's not aspirational, but like what you're feeding your family on the regular. And we talk about this a little bit in Meal Planning for Everyone, and this idea of like making a list of the things that you cook regularly for your family to like cut down on some decision fatigue.
Yes.
This, let me go a little ways out here. In like the world of wardrobe styling, building a capsule wardrobe, if you're a wannabe minimalist like me, or maybe you're just like changing your wardrobe for the seasons, a lot of the advice is like, if you're thinking about buying something and like in the store, it feels good. Or in this case, you're like watching someone's Instagram story and that food influencer, it seems good in their life, right? In the light of their life. Can you pull back and think of three other things in your closet or four other things in your closet that that piece of clothing goes with, that you can wear it with to make outfits? So is there an adjacent thing in cooking for your family where it's like, oh, if you're thinking about an egg cooker, can you think of three instances in a week where you're actually going to use it? Or is it going to save you enough time on one day because it's like a, like your Sunday prep day, that it becomes worth it? I think it's a really good test for any of these things that we're going to mention, except for the one thing that I think we both agree on, which will be sharp knives.
Yes, totally. Okay. I love that. I think that's really great, taking advice from building a capsule wardrobe. I think that's super smart. Okay, but you mentioned sharp knives. So let's get into it.
That's where I want to start. Yes.
Great. We're both into it. Talk to me about your current knives.
Okay. I have a, like the knives I've had for a very long time. I haven't bought anything new in the last 10 years, save for maybe a new paring knife. I think that the price of the knife doesn't matter. I think if you can try knives on, like hold them in your hand, how they feel in your hand is the most important, because if you're going to be using it a lot, you want it to feel comfortable. You don't want to like get knife blisters. It's going to be inefficient if it feels too heavy for you, or like your hand doesn't fit the handle and it's slipping out. I don't think that you need a lot of knives. I think a good chef's knife, a good, like what I would call a utility knife, which is sometimes a santoku, and a paring knife will do you very well. And even if they're inexpensive, you need to sharpen them regularly. For most people, I think that's like once every 3 months. But if you cook a lot, it might be once a month. And I don't think that people realize you can invest in the stuff to sharpen your knives at home, but there are like a lot of kitchen stores will sharpen your knives. And in many cities, there's specific knife sharpening services where you can either do a drop off or they'll come to your home and sharpen your knives for you. So there's like kind of not a reason to not sharpen your knives.
Totally agree with everything. Do you want to mention any brands that you love?
I don't. All my personal knives are so specific. I have the culinary school grade issue. Like I literally have some from almost 20 years ago when I was in culinary school, and they're just like the most generic, but they're good weight and they've lasted a long time. I have two knives from Cut Brooklyn, which I really like, but those were like special gifted ones. I have a KitchenAid knife that I like. I think Maiden makes good knives, but I haven't had a lot of experience with them.
So I have Maiden knives. Those are the only knives I've purchased recently because I got them for the house upstate. And I like them. They're good. They're a nice weight. They're pretty. They work. And honestly, even a cheap ass knife, which Maiden is not, but like I'm saying like IKEA knives, if you sharpen it, you take care of it, it's going to do the job. So again, I think Megan's right about weight. That like holding it, and I said, Megan, like you're not here, because I'm talking to the people directly. Like we're getting real. Like I'm looking at them in the eyes right now. And I'm like, guys, it is really good to feel it in your hand, because if it is too light and it slips, it can be really dangerous, especially if you're combining that with keeping it really sharp, which is what we're telling you to do. And you're not great at knife skills yet. So for example, I have Global knives also that I really like, but Mike really doesn't like. And Mike has a stronger grip than me. It just feels too light in his hand. It doesn't have enough heft. And he just feels like it's going to slip. I mean, you know, he also doesn't have super practiced knife skills. But the ones that I've had forever, so Maiden, I really like. I also have Global. Global's very expensive. I don't think Global is necessary. I'm going to tell you, I think they're great knives and I really like them. If you like super lightweight, they're nice, but I just don't think it's necessary. And I like good old Wusthof. They are like a nice, perfect weight for me. And I've had mine forever.
That reminds me that I do have a J.K. Henkel knife that I bought
yeah.
at like Marshalls, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a discount knife. It has like, I don't know if it's plastic or like composite handle, but I take it to like the professional knife sharpener every other month almost. And like, it has lasted me for 15 years.
This is what I'm saying. Yes.
The weight is good. TJ Maxx, Marshalls, whatever. You can go and pick up the knife and see how it feels in your hand or how it feels in the packaging and get a sense. And then you're not like spending a lot of money either. So if you don't like it, it becomes a utility knife or your kids can use it later on down the road if it's a little too small. Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply. Both Stacey and I have shared our own candid experiences with mental health and helping our families deal with their own. We both know firsthand that if you have ADHD, it can be overwhelming to find the right treatment. That's why we're glad to partner with Dunn. In just 1 minute, Dunn's online assessment can help kickstart your ADHD treatment journey. With experienced clinicians, worry-free refills, and online visits, you can start getting personalized care as soon as tomorrow. Take a free 1 minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Dunn for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.dunnfirst.com/podcast. Dunn, turn ADHD into your strength.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
You said a chef's knife.
Mm-hmm.
I keep an 8-inch and a 10-inch, but I think 8-inch is all purpose. That's my recommendation always. What about you?
I agree. I think the 8-inch is the way to go.
Cool. Okay. What else is on your list?
Okay. I think this is, can we like stay in the world of chopping?
I'd like to, because that's really all of my recommendations. Because I have two other recommendations, three, and they're all chopping, three major ones.
Then a mandolin, I think we would also both agree
on. There you go.
Especially if you buy a Kevlar glove or a set of Kevlar gloves, which are cut resistant. I'm not going to say they're cut proof, but they will protect your hands as you're cutting. And you can also have your mandolin sharpened. But the mandolin that I think Stacey and I both really like is like less than $20. And the one I've had, again, for like 5 or 6 years on my newest one. And it's still super efficient and very useful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about the mandolin. I think it's such a huge time saver. I'm going to be honest and say that I don't ever really use the attachments. I just do thin slicing on it, but I use it all the time.
I love the little attachments, the super fine ones for making like grated carrot pieces for slaws. I'll do that with cabbage also for slaws. And then for fritters, especially in the summertime when there's like a lot of zucchini. Yes, I could use my box grater, but sometimes I just want like a heftier piece of zucchini. And I just, there's like not a tool that does salads and veggie prep as well as mandolin.
I agree with you. I just buy carrot slaw pre-made. Gonna tell the truth. Cabbage, if you cut it in the right direction, it shreds just with the regular thing. You just have to cut it in the right direction. But I think it's great. I did buy a box grater after all these years when I moved into the new kitchen. And one of the reasons is because of zucchini. So I should have, instead of caving and investing in a box grater, I probably should use my mandolin. Okay. I'm going to pick it up from here and talk about the vegetable chopper.
Yes, the choppa.
The choppa.
I don't know why.
The chopper.
And hey, this is like a really great example of a product that we keep seeing everywhere. Like, I feel like even non-food people are talking about it.
I mean, I was like fully influenced by social media for this. And I was like, even when I bought it, I was like, this is dumb. Like, even as I put it in my cart and hit pay, I was like, dumb, pay, want it. Totally influenced. This is one of those funny things where I was like, the mandolin is what I need. But Mike also brought it up because he even saw it on social media and he barely even goes on it. And he was like, I think I would use this to make myself salad. So I was like, okay, there is something mentally even easier than the mandolin. Like, the mandolin is like when I want to go fast, but I'm caring. The chopper is when I'm like, I don't even give up. Let's just like, I got to get out of, like, 1, 2, 3, clamp, 1, 2, 3, clamp, 1, 2, 3, clamp. Everything's the same size, slightly larger than I want it to be. Like, I don't even care. Go, go, chop, chop. I really do like it for reducing food waste, which is something we shared on Instagram, because I do feel like when I see carrots going limpy or celery like about to die, I can just be like, oh, fine. And literally 4 minutes later, like, I've chopped it all up. And then I have like mirepoix, which is like a great cooking base, a combination of celery, carrot, and onion that's good for cooking like any kind of super stew or saute. Or just throwing into like tomorrow's lunch salad. Like, it's already done and I'm not going to worry about whether or not I have the time. So even though, I'm going to be honest, I don't love it, I kind of love it, obviously, because I'm using it. I'm using it a lot.
Are there vegetables you don't use it for? Like, would you do a sweet potato, which maybe you'd have to like peel and slice a little bit before you put it in there?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mind pulling at my knife because usually, not always, but like maybe I'm butterflying chicken breast or whatever. I don't know. My knives feel like very much an extension of me. If you wanted to completely not use knives and only the chopper, yes, a potato would be harder for sure. But if you don't mind taking a knife and like quartering it or just like quickly 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.5-inch thick slices and then chopping it up, into squares, like it would still save you so much time. I've done mushrooms. I've done potatoes. I've done celery. I've done carrots. Lettuce is not something you can do, although I did try.
tomatoes. How about?
Tomatoes I cannot do. Okay. I tried also. Cucumber you can do. Like I just put the whole thing, you know, because I buy the Persian cucumbers. So you don't even need to trim them or peel them. It's just like put it there and chop. It's like kind of satisfying. Oliver really likes using it because it's satisfying. So yeah, again, like this is not peak cooking, guys. This is like
this
getting
is about
the
speed
job done.
And efficiency.
Yes,
with the chopper.
Get it done with the
Listen,
chopper.
So far, I've not been influenced to buy one, but like I'm kind of, now that you've mentioned it twice, I'm like, do I want the chopper?
Do you
Maybe.
Want the chopper?
Do we need to talk about the box grater at all? I don't know that I think of a box grater as like being something that's super like that you need to necessarily save time. But we did talk about you can use the other sides of it and use it a little bit like you would a mandolin or even a chopper. But it's maybe not as efficient as these other
things. Yeah. And like and then when I think about it, the things I use for it, like grating butter, I know you do that a lot for biscuits.
And pie dough.
And it is like it's efficiency, but also like that it's technique. Like it's about how the butter comes out at the end. You know, zucchini, you're grating it. Yes, you're going faster, but like you do also then have to like squeeze the hell out of all the water in most applications that you're using the grated zucchini. So I don't know. I agree. I don't know that it's the thing to talk about when we're talking about saving time.
Okay. You know what other like cutting tool that I really love that I do feel like saves me time? Is kitchen shears.
Yeah.
I don't 100%. Know what I would do in my life if I didn't have a good pair of kitchen shears.
Totally agree.
I feel a little embarrassed. I'm going to tell you that one of my favorite ways to use them recently is to cut up chicken breast.
Yeah. I get it. Why are you embarrassed?
It's like the laziest. Like if you could be a fly on the wall in my kitchen, it is like the laziest. Like I don't want to get out another cutting board. And so I'm literally like taking the kitchen shears and like chopping the chicken breast like straight up into the pan.
It's not my favorite thing to visualize. But it gets the job done.
Like snipping bacon is another way I use my kitchen shears regularly. Like instead of chopping it with a knife, I'm just like chopping it right into.
Totally.
I love
I
it
that
for,
too.
For herbs. This is the reason we both have multiple pairs too. Cutting up like things for the kids, even like still ramen
I used to use
noodles
it
and spaghetti.
All the time when my kids were little. Hot dogs.
I have seen, and I thought this was brilliant, like parents at a restaurant with a pair of kitchen shears and their toddler, and they were taking like whatever their restaurant meal was and they were chopping it up. And I was like, I wish I had thought of that when my kids were really little.
I did it. I totally did it.
So good.
There was a brand when the kids were little, when my kids were little, that advertised like they were kid-like. They looked like the kids' version of kitchen shears.
Yeah.
But they were like just sharp enough and they came with a little cover and they were for like to keep in your bag to like quickly cut things up like little snacks on the go. 100% agree. Into it.
I'm going to mention Joyce Chen as a brand of kitchen shears that I really like. And in fact, I have a pair that's like specifically for lives outside for like herbs and flowers and stuff. And then also OXO makes a really nice pair of kitchen shears, which kitchen shears are really great for spatchcocking. I can't believe we didn't lead with that. You can make, this is one of those like, it saves you time. You want to roast a whole chicken, but you want to do it in less time. Like use your kitchen shears to take the backbone out, spatchcock your chicken, which is essentially taking the backbone out and making it flat, and it cooks faster.
Yes. So I have the OXO ones as well. Something to look out for is not all kitchen shears come apart. And I think that that's really, really helpful for cleaning in the dishwasher, especially if you're going to be using them to cook meat. Some of the heavy duty ones don't come apart because they're like the ones that actually have like big springs and are meant and designed to cut through bones. So I have one of those, but I do find that my OXO ones with a little bit of just like elbow grease on my part will cut through chicken. And then I like them because you can just take them apart.
Yes.
And Wusthof has a pair of come apart ones. So I think that's something to look out for.
Okay.
One more thing before we move away from cutting things. garlic press. I used to be very anti-garlic press because when you're a professional cook, you learn that garlic presses are bad. You know, when you press down on them, they break the cell walls, which releases a substance that can make the garlic bitter, etc. But some newfangled garlic presses have come out and they say that they don't do that. They protect the cell wall and it works just like a knife. I don't know, guys. Is it BS or not? I don't know. It kind of doesn't matter that much. Like, a garlic press will help you save time, especially if that's like a pain point, going back to what we said in the beginning. Like, if every time it says chop garlic.
And you're like, I cannot even.
Yeah. And you only want to use jarred or frozen all the time. But you want to be able to chop fresh garlic sometimes. Get a garlic press. Just do it. It will help.
Okay. I also want to take a step back and say the idea that a garlic press makes the garlic bitter might only matter if you're like a restaurant chef or like a Michelin star chef and like you're really cooking with a lot of garlic. I think for many of us who are like home cooks, when we're adding garlic to other things or we're like tossing it with veggies, it matters less.
Mm-hmm. I will put a little asterisk next to that because I do think if the garlic is very forward in the flavor, like a scampi,
mm-hmm.
it can really matter. It can. Like, you know how sometimes you've had a dish and you do get that bitter flavor. It does kind of ruin the taste a little bit. But yeah, I generally totally agree with you. Or if it's a recipe that calls for a lot of garlic because you're meant to taste the garlic flavor. You know, if you're cooking with a ton of garlic and that's really important to you, then, you know, maybe look out for one of the like nicer garlic presses that's going to cut it nice and carefully. Or the chopper. I think the vegetable chopper could do it. I think the chunks would just be too big.
Big pieces. Yeah.
They're small. There's more. The chopper that we're going to link to has a couple of inserts.
Oh, okay. Maybe now I do want a chopper. It does remind me that the thing about the garlic press is you are getting like a finer paste. And yes. So sometimes it can cook faster, i.e. it could burn. So that's a watch out depending yes. on what your recipe calls for. Like, I'm thinking of like a shrimp scampi where one, you're using a lot of garlic, and two, it's kind of like sauteing, being infused in the oil for cooking the shrimp. And so you do actually want bigger pieces there. And so you're just going to have to use your discretion. But like for everyday thing, like I'm making pasta sauce for the kids, I'm getting out the garlic press.
Totally.
Unitasker, be damned.
Yes, I love it.
We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, should we move on from cutting things?
Yes. Can I just shout out, this is maybe wildly specific, maybe you'll agree, I love a bench scraper. You might think of a bench scraper as a tool that bakers use, like you'll see it when people are dividing the dough. Mm-hmm. But I use my bench scraper all the time, as the name implies, to scrape my workbench, aka my cutting board. Like if I've done a lot of veggie prep and I have a bunch of peels and like carrot ends on my cutting board and I just want to scoop them into the trash, I bring my trash bin over and I use my bench scraper and scrape it in. I also will use it to like move food from my cutting board into the pan so I can do it in one fell swoop or two fell swoops. And it is useful for cutting things like dough. Instead of like getting your knife out, you get cleaner cuts. If you want to cut biscuits or scones with it, it's just really great. And bench scrapers are super inexpensive. Like I have a bunch I got at the dollar store for a project and I still use them.
I love that. I think that's so smart, which makes me think of something else that I think saves time, although it's not a tool. Guys, you don't need to go buy something. Although I do think that Rachel Ray tried to market this at some point. Because she is big into like bench scrapers or, you know, like big scoopers, yes. Right? But having a garbage bowl on the counter while you're prepping, even if your garbage is right there, just the act of moving out of the way and opening and closing and opening and closing it can end up taking time. So just grabbing one of your like mixing bowls that you're not going to use during this particular cooking process and doing like ends and stems and whatever else in there and then dumping it all at once. You don't need to buy the special Rachel Ray garbage bowl.
Okay. Are there any other like essential kitchen tools that you think save time? Or are we going to move into some more like small appliances, gadgets?
Oh, good question. I think that working on chopping is the big thing. So yeah. I'm ready to move into gadgets.
Okay. What is the number one gadget that you think people should have that saves time in the kitchen?
I don't think it's necessary, and I know people are really against it. I love my microwave.
Ooh, that is not the answer I thought was going to come out right now. I'm very delighted by this.
I love my microwave. Okay, I know you can reheat things, but when we're talking about saving time in the entire process, that also includes cleaning dishes at the end. And I know that even in homes where there's a division of labor, if you're the cook, you might not be thinking about the cleaning part. But since I also clean as I go, and like I need my kitchen to be orderly at the end of the night, and like it's just the cleanliness and orderliness of my kitchen space is like very important to me. So even though I'm not cleaning the dishes afterwards, like the pots and the pans and loading the dishwasher, I find that not having to heat up more pans or pots to reheat things is really helpful. I can melt butter. I can heat up sauces quickly. You can even sweat onions. I steam vegetables in my microwave all the time. You get some, and I'm not saying that you need this, but if you do like your microwave too, and you get some any day microwave cookware bowls, which are also just great food storage bowls because they have a nice, beautiful seal on them. You can make rice in there. You can make small amounts of pasta, and it's quick and it's easy, and there's usually less cleanup.
You know that I love the microwave like so much. And I, outside of like using it regularly for veggie sides or the things you mentioned, like rice and pasta to add to other dishes, I also love it to jumpstart some things. Like I'll do baked potatoes for dinner, but instead of having them be in the oven, yes, for an hour, I'll get them started in the microwave and then put them in the oven to crisp for like 30 minutes while I make a quick little chili or sauce or whatever is going to go on top of them. Same for sweet potatoes. I will also take like cubed potatoes and microwave them in an any day dish and get them started so that I can make like home fries if we're having breakfast for dinner or on a weekend breakfast. I love it for cooking bacon also.
Oh, yeah.
Like for or quick like breakfast sandwiches. I know, we're excited about the microwave.
Yes, totally. And then all those, like, you see them on Instagram, the smashed vegetables to get them really crisp when they roast. It's mostly potatoes and Brussels sprouts. Steam them in the microwave. And then you've cut down on so much time as opposed to parboiling or roasting them and then taking them out and then smashing them, putting them back. Just microwave. Smash, smash, smash. Put them on the sheet pan and get them in the oven to crisp. Love it.
Just another any day endorsement. A lot of times I will save that thing I steamed the potatoes or the Brussels sprouts in, that vessel, and then put the leftovers in there after dinner. So again, I'm cutting down on dishes at the end of the day.
Okay. So we're not going to like, that's a big appliance. Medium, whatever. It's not like a stove, but that's big. What about like countertop appliances?
I really thought you were going to say the air fryer. I was like astounded that you said the microwave. And so I'm going to say the air fryer. Again, this is like knowing what kind of cook you are, what kind of season you're in. I had tested many of them when I worked at Kitchen and like given a bunch away when we moved from Idaho to Tennessee. But you brought me back around to it. And in this season of having sports going on this spring, of having a tweenager, I love the air fryer so much.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Another small appliance that we've like talked about and may not be for everyone, but can make you super efficient is an Instant Pot or multi-cooker. Instant Pot is the brand name, but of course, Ninja makes it a multi-pot now. It's basically a countertop electric pressure cooker that you can also use as a slow cooker. It can do things like cook rice or make yogurt. I think I killed my Instant Pot recently. And so now I'm like in a place of, no, really, Stacey, I think it's dead. We were on Slack one day working and I was like, oh, I tried to cook this pork shoulder. And while I was at the bus stop getting the kids, it like released itself and it just says pass. And now every time I plug it in, it just says pass. And I'm wondering if that's short for passed away. Like it is just... done. So I'm not sure right now if I'm going to replace it because I am using, not that they're adjacent, but I'm just like, I'm using my air fryer a lot and I'd rather have real estate in my pantry and on my counter for that right now.
Yep.
And totally. Maybe in the future I'll replace it.
I hear you.
But you love your rice cooker. And do you feel like that rice cooker makes you faster in the kitchen?
That's a great question. So I'm going to be really honest and I hope I don't offend all of Asia, that I got sucked in by all this stupid food media press and conversation about the rice bacteria.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
I do not.
It's actually come up before. This isn't the first time that it's come up, but there was like another resurgence of like, you know how if you let rice sit too long, or if you don't pack it up properly and get in the fridge right away.
The age old question, is it safe to eat reheated rice?
Leftover rice.
Leftover rice, yes. Okay.
And I got caught up and I was like, oh my God, like, not safe. I'm going to get everybody sick. And then like, you see all these people who grew up with rice cookers, all these folks in Asia, all these folks in all over the world who grew up with Asian home cooks or like, yeah, that this is absurd. Like this is not like a massive problem. It's not that like the science behind it is wrong, but like this is not dangerous, like to cook your rice and leave it on the counter in the rice cooker for a day or two. But I haven't used mine in a while because I got caught up in that. I don't know if it actually makes me a faster home cook. I'm not going to put it on the list, personally.
Okay. I love that honesty.
I'm not going to fight you if you want to put it on it. You can cook rice just as quickly. It's more of an efficiency thing. And I'm almost always cooking more rice than I need because just out of habit, whenever I create a meal plan with rice in it. I do a cook once, eat twice at minimum plan where I'm making like fried rice or I'm serving rice a couple of nights as a side, or I might serve plain steamed rice one night and then like recook it with some flavorings another night. So it's more efficiency. I don't know that it actually saves me time. The cooking once, eating twice of the rice saves me time, but I don't know if the rice cooker itself actually. I just get better rice, more hands off.
Okay. I think that's really honest. And I think, again, that circles back to, is rice a place for efficiency in this season of the cook that you are right now? And for a lot of people, the answer might straight up be no. But do you know what bubbled up for me? I do not have a rice cooker, but I use my electric kettle to cook rice because I use this technique where you like start the rice, you kind of like saute it in a little oil or butter, and then you add hot water to it. So it cooks a little bit faster, like 5 to 10 minutes faster. And I do think an electric kettle is like a really great little small appliance. It's not expensive. It's great for like if you're a tea drinker or if you just like to steam veggies and you need some hot water regularly, or maybe you're making instant broth to add to soups or braises. I think it can be a really great tool for efficiency.
Yeah, I also use it for instant oatmeal in the mornings all the time for the boys.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love mine. Okay, great. So let's add that to the list. I like that. What else?
Can I also say that I've been using my food processor and my blender a lot.
Yes.
I think they're different tools for different things.
Agree. Strong agree.
I've been using the food processor a lot for grating big batches of veggies or making like little protein balls or even mixing up doughs in it rather than getting my KitchenAid out. Like you can actually make cookie dough in a food processor. So I think that's a really great one. And then I've also been back on making smoothies and sauces a lot now that I have my blender base out.
Yeah.
And so I think those, again, like maybe you're not making a lot of sauces. Maybe you're not making a lot of smoothies. I do not have a Vitamix, but I think if you're making like a lot of blender sauces or you're making a lot of smoothies or maybe you're making blended soups, maybe you're even making your own baby food, that spending a little bit more on a quality blender will actually save you time. Because we all know like when you're using like an inexpensive blender and it's not like blending very well and you're having to like add more water or stop and stir it up, you're losing time there.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think we should talk just really quickly. We should talk about the egg cooker. I do not have one. One of my favorite food stylists, Tammy Hardiman, she has one and she loves it so much. I feel like she takes it with her when she travels. But like that's an efficiency of like her feeding herself on the road. So she travels with her little, it's like the Dash brand egg cooker. And I think we've always been proponents of hard-boiled eggs as like a great way to feed your family, whether it's snacks or make head breakfast or like a little bit of meal prep so that you can have little snack plattery lunches. So if you're like in a hard-boiled egg season, it might be the thing for you.
I'm kind of intrigued. I kind of want to get one. I'm kind of super into it.
How easily influenced
Stacey
is in this episode. And then this is wildly, wildly specific, but I love a cherry pitter. And I think OXO makes a really great one. Do I use it on the regular? No. But in cherry season, I'm using it every day. Or I'm doing a big batch of cherries once a week to bake with. And so it is maybe my favorite, like, unitasker, very specific tool to end this episode.
Yeah, I have one that I also really like. I will say that now that I have older kids, I don't use it on the regular. But I did when my kids were little because they love cherries. And even just to like pack them for lunches, I would pit them. It just made things easier. I mean, even into them being in upper elementary school, it wasn't like a choking hazard, but it was just like makes it convenient. And it's just really quick and easy. I now only use mine maybe like once a year when I'm going to bake something with cherries. But gosh, when you need a cherry pitter, like if you don't have one, it's such a bummer. So I fully endorse you adding that to the list. I'm into it.
Is that everything?
We did it.
Yes.
These are the tools that will save you time. Guys, we're going to have all the links in the show notes. And Megan, I think we should update our Amazon store to make sure that all of these tools are there.
You got it.
You want to follow us in all the places, guys. Start with our free community because it's the best place on the internet. It's full of smart shopping lists, meal plans, thousands of other home cooks just like you giving advice. And did you hear me? It's free. It's free. So just go to didntijustfeedyou.com/community to join.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You? A huge thank you to our producers, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacey. Stay sane and well-fed until next time.
Leave us a rating or review and make sure to give it 5 stars and leave an epic comment. Do it.